be a name, please. Cynthia?
How are you?
Good.
Sensational.
Sarah's not with us this time, sadly, so, yeah.
So how much do we want?
Seven of us. Mm-hmm. So, actually, half the team can walk.
Play loud, okay?
So, do you remember Kimmy and Esther and Andrew?
Yeah. I just saw them coming in.
Oh,
did you?
Streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Scandal of Grace. This is the third time we've had this one, so the congregation should. Do you guys like this song?
What have you done?
Do you like this song? Don't know it?
Beryl.
So it'll
just stop at the end of where we stopped.
We burned the bridge.
So we'll just do two choruses and then to end it off.
Okay. Like Italy, there's no bridge. Oh! Did you hear that? Oh, like Italy, no bridge.
Oh, no.
You'll see. I'm not going to go to national emergency for 12 months. At the cross. Oh, it's great. Thanks for joining us. Whenever you like, mate. Stay there. Good morning, Walkabouts. What a privilege it is to be here together today. Oh, that's okay. We have some new old friends back. Cape and Ray's back here with us, and Mary's back with us. So why don't you catch up with somebody at the end of the service and just chat to them about what the Lord's been doing. Matilda asked me before I got up, Dad, what has the Lord been doing in your life this week? And I said, I don't know, mate. I've been too busy to know. But that's been it. God has been carrying me through the week and guiding me through. It's been fantastic because I have been flat out. I've, yes, had many things on, kids going here and there and things where my life is just out of control. But the Lord has it under control. I can always trust that. And this is a great time. I love Sunday mornings where you can just come and go, let's hear from you, God. So what don't we ask if we can hear from you now? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Sunday morning. We thank you for a time to just come and focus upon you. Help us to be aware of you, Lord. Help us to seek you this morning and not just to zone out. Give us a heart of passion for you, of love for you, for your son, and remind us, Lord, that it's just not a simple cost. That as Jesus came, he called us at a massive price to himself and to you. And we are yours because of that. So we give ourselves to you this morning, knowing that you can do great things in our heart. Amen. Music team, let's sing. Our first song is Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Would you please stand with me and sing?
Blessed be.
safe. Okay? He can guide us. So this is our next song, My Lighthouse.
Oh,
We can always hold on to that. Hold on to you, Lord. Help us to hear from you this morning. Amen. Yeah, let's do that.
So now is the time for the Sunday school children to go out. I'm going to pray for the Sunday school teachers and the children before they go. Father in heaven, Kids Church, I got it wrong. As Kids Church starts and as little kids do their thing, I'm asking that your hand and your strength would be working in those little lives for life and for hope and for blessing. So be with the teachers, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, thanks, Sunday School, Kids Church. Samaritans, we as a church, we would love our love to extend all the way to across the nations. And one practical way that that can happen is through Samaritan's Purse. This is where you fill up a box full of goodies. It's you've got restrictions or guidelines of what's got to go in here. And Ellen Poyle leads this ministry. And there's already some bags that need to be sewn up. They're all cut up. They're material bags that need to be sewn up. And if you are terrific in the sewing machine, then Ellen's got some bags for you. So they need to be sewn up for Samaritan Pork. They arrive around the nations as Christmas gifts for children. So that's what that is. Creating Safe Spaces. We've got a Creating Safe Spaces workshop coming up on the 29th of September. Is that right, Kim? And I'm just going to click through those. And so if you haven't done your Creating Safe Spaces workshop, this is for you. My button's not working. And so you can do an online module for $10. The online module is paid for online. And if you're helping in a ministry that deals with vulnerable people, then we really need you as part of the church to do this course. The places are limited and you just need to register with Janelle by email or by phone or just touch base with her in the office. There is a ministry leaders' dinner coming up. And if you are a ministry leader in the church, then on the 30th of August, we are having a ministry leaders' dinner here. We'd love you to come. And we've got Matt Gelding coming to be our guest speaker. It's an opportunity for us to say thank you for leading ministries in the church, and also an occasion for us to be encouraged and be joined together in our ministry. So that's the ministry leaders' dinner. We have earmarked the multicultural service for October the 21st because when I came here, you know, about, 17 years ago or something, we were many, often people looked like me, but things have changed. And one of our joys is that we've got people that have come from all over the nations to Wagga, and so we love to celebrate that. So if you are thinking that I'd love to be part of that and you are born in a different country to Australia, or you're born here but you just want to celebrate part of the multicultural service, then we would love you to be part of that. And just inviting you, would you mind responding to me by a communication card? They're the little cards that you find in your seat, and there's a little box right at the back, the little yellow box that you can put those in. So this is I've been talking. David Nix is a missionary and his wife Carol, they're missionaries together. And I was talking to David this week just by Skype. They're in Indonesia and they said, could you please ask your people something? Would there be anyone in Wagga Baptist Church that would be prepared to go to Indonesia from about 6 months to about 2 years to a little island of Bhutan? I've been there. It's beautiful. They've just, because of the way things are panning out, there's a couple there, Maz and Esther, and they will be there by themselves. And they would, if there was just someone else there, just to support them, to be a face in the office there, maybe to help teach English a little bit, then they would love someone to go. So if that's something that you think, actually, I wouldn't mind doing that, Could you get back to me, please? It would be a blessing. It could be as short as 6 months, or it could be as long as 2 years. So that's an invitation. The Adam Thwaite family serve on the Silk Road, and we just want to remember to give thanks for them, to pray for more English teachers to join the work there, to pray for David as he works alongside locals and the relationships with the locals. So I'm going to we're going to have the offering now, and so oh no, we're not. Hold off on the offering. We've got something more exciting than that. Connor, can you come and bring your Cape and Ray team? So we've had the Cape and Ray team here at different times over the years. This particular team has been on a road trip, so they've been roaring around Australia, actually. And last night, they slept in this building, and it's their last night before, in a minute, they jump in their troopy and go back to Bowral, which is Cape and Ray. And so this is the end of their trip, so it's significant for them. And we're going to ask Connor, who's been leading the team, to say something about their road trip.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Wagga. Yeah, it's good to be back. I've said to Sheldon and David, it kind of feels like a second Australian home now, coming back here over and over. So for those of you I've met, I'm looking forward to see you after. And as you can see from the team, there's a few familiar faces that came here on the ministry week a few months back, but there's also some new ones. So this is the Aussie road trip, we call it. And so it's separate from the rest of the Bible school, where during the BDM courses at the school, we're soaking in, we're learning, and this road trip is a way to kind of reach out and travel Australia and get involved in communities and serve and encourage the ministries that are already there. So that's what we've been doing. We left on July 20th, and we're the Outback team, so we've all piled into a troopy, had a camper trailer, and gone on the road into the outback of Australia, and it's been an amazing time. So a few stops that we've done is went from Bowral up to Moree, then from Moree up to Longreach, Longreach over down to Quilpie, across the Plenty Highway, Alice Springs, Uluru, and all the way back down around. So it's been quite a few Ks that we've racked up on that old troopy. But it's been a great experience, and we'll just have a short time of sharing, because obviously it's been, when you're on the road for a month, there's a lot that the Lord teaches you and a lot that happens. We'll try to keep it condensed, but just wanted to give a little bit of an update, and it's a privilege to be able to wrap up our time sharing with you guys. So thank you for opening up your church like this, and yeah, it's great to see you all. So that's a little bit of what's happened in the road trip, and just exciting. I think for me personally, before I pass it down, what the Lord's been teaching that's been really significant is going through the Bible and how the Lord leads his people out into the wilderness and the significance of that, of refinement and stuff. And obviously, there's still a lot of luxuries as we go out here, and it's only for a month. It's not like it's 40 years or whatever, but there's still a bit of a picture of what God does and when he brings you to the end of yourself and to fully rely on him and thirst for him. And it's just a privilege to be able to serve others in that same way. So thank you.
So I'm Anya. I'm from Germany. And what's the Lord been teaching me the last month? It was nothing specifically, like one big thing. But I think one small thing was like that it's not like my own strength to serve, but it's like his strength through me. Because like when you're on the road for such a long time, it can be tiring to ministry or to serve in churches and go to different locations. And yeah, I think that was one thing that he's been teaching me, that it's not like I don't have to do it, I can't do it. It's his strength through me. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm Dan. I'm from Switzerland, and what became important to me on this road trip was while we were traveling in this troop here, I had such a great time with God, just in prayer and also while reading the Bible. And what became important to me is just to give time for God and just to, like, don't limit your time that you spend with God. Perhaps when you get up in the morning, that you don't look on the watch and say, oh, I have a half an hour. This is great for spending time with God, and that's it. So, like, to have, like, just time for him, and that was really important to me, on this trip as well. Thanks.
And I'm Andrew. I was here in May. Some of you may remember, some of you may not. Doesn't really matter. And yeah, it's so cool on this road trip because we have a bunch of planned ministries. So going into schools and doing school scriptures, going into different churches and doing practical work. But some of my favorite was the unplanned ministry that we ended up doing. So there was a camp oven cook-off, and we weren't planning on going to it. We just saw a flyer for it and headed down. And just had great conversations with people and some gospel conversations. And it just gave me a little bit of a picture of moving into a lifestyle of ministry rather than just going to your planned ministries. And so that's one of the big things God's been revealing to me is just how you can work ministry into your everyday life, even if you're trying to set up for the campsite and suddenly this person starts talking to you. Throwing everything away and just focusing on what's really important in life.
All right, my name is Esther, and it's great to see you all again. This road trip has been really awesome just to be able to travel around Australia and see a different side of it and to really see what God's doing all over this country. We had the opportunity to partner with a lot of different churches and a lot of different ministries, and one that really stands out to me was in our first stop in Moree. We got to work with a couple there, and they do a lot of ministry with the Aboriginal community. And so one of the things that we did with them is we went out into one of the neighborhoods, and we set up church just on someone's front lawn. And it was crazy just getting to talk to some of the people who came out, because some of them, it was their first time. And it didn't look necessarily like what I think of church as looking like. We were outside, and we kind of just set up our instruments there, and we got to play a little bit of music. I got to share my testimony. We had some people from Vanuatu, and they sang a song, and it was great just to like have that different experience of church and to be able to worship God in any setting, even if it's not the one that we're used to.
Hi, I'm Kimmy. I'm so glad to be back here again. It's been really cool to be back here several times. One theme that has been reoccurring to me, even since during the Cape and Ray semester, is the idea of how dirty am I willing to get? How much am I willing to let the filth of people who don't know God, how much am I willing to let that get on me in order just to be with them? Like, how willing am I to sit in someone else's secondhand smoke just to be with them, to share the gospel with them? Or how willing am I to have just taken a shower and gotten in clean clothes and hang out at a campfire and get all dirty again, just to be with people? So that's just been a theme that's been recurring to me, because that's what God did for us. He sat with us in our filth, and he was willing to get that on him. So just the opportunities to get to do that in this Outback road trip, just to be with people where they're at, not to try and get them to come hang out with us in our clean place, but to go into wherever they're at, whether it's at a campfire or the filth of their situation in life, just to be with them is really powerful, and that's what's really affected me this trip.
Sweet. And I'm Wes. I'm the other leader for the Outback Road Trip. So I've never been to Wagga, but I've got... Oh, yeah, I'm the only Aussie, real Aussie on the trip. So I've never been to Wagga, but I've got connections from all over. So I used to be in the army, and I was in the army with Rachel Parsons, of those who know her. And then it's also been funny, on the road trip, we ran into two people in Moree from Wagga, Charlie and Victoria. So that was random, but awesome. So for me, what God's been teaching me is one of the big things is it's not me leading this trip, it's him. I keep getting in the way of that, so it's always good to go, yep, I got to step aside and, let him do the work and not me. So that's been one of the big things, but yeah, it's just been great going around. And some of my favorite ministries have been the practical side of things. So we went and stayed at a cattle station in the southwest of Queensland, which is 200,000 acres. and we just did some fencing, rounding up some sheep and all, a whole bunch of different stuff. And then some of my other favourite stuff was literally hanging out with some Aboriginal kids and just playing some basketball with them and just chatting with them and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I like the practical side of stuff, but the whole trip has just been really good. So, yeah, thanks for having us.
So let's pray for this team. It's a privilege to have them come and bless us. And so let's pray for them. Yeah, as they go. Yeah, Father, we lovingly bring this team to you. Thank you, Lord, for touching their lives, for capturing their hearts, for sending them out with gospel on their minds. And Lord, we are asking that, I know different ones of them are going to go back to their countries within the next few weeks, and others later on in the next few months. But we're asking, Lord, that you would shepherd them wherever they go, that you would guide them with your eye upon them, Lord, that you protect them and use them, for Father, for your glory, and they'd have joy as they serve you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, that we get to have them for a little while just here in Wagga. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sorry, got it under control. So good, Dave. So we're going to try something a little bit different. Last year, we as a family, the Giles family, went over to Moldova and we tried the Russian style of prayer. So we're going to try that this morning. Connor, can I get you to come up? So you don't get too freaked out. Connor's going to play quietly. But the Russian style of prayer is everyone stands. And could I get you to stand, please? And you don't all have to pray. You can listen to the people around you, but if you have a prayer in your heart, if you have something that you believe the Lord is telling you, just tell him. Just talk to God. Don't have to shout. Don't have to yell. You can whisper. You can shout if you want to, but we're talking to God, and whoever you feel. So everybody together, all at once. So we're going to hear Andrew pray. We're going to hear Dale. We're going to hear Joy in the back. It'll be great. But let's close our eyes and let's pray to the Lord. You can tell me like us. Father, I just want to thank you that you brought us here this morning. I thank you that you brought Andrew back. Father, I praise you for his recovery. I praise you for this man, Lord. I love Andrew, Lord. And I just thank you that he is able to be with us. Father, I want to thank you for my family. I thank you that I have a family, Lord. Thank you that you've brought me on my journey of what it is, and that God, you are guiding my family. Take each of them and lead them in your ways. Lord, I thank you for our church. I pray for our elders, our deacons. I pray for those around us, Lord, that are part of this church. Help us to grow. Help us to guide Wagga to a place of you, Jesus. Help us to be a light here at in Wagga. Lord, I praise you. I want to pray for the natural disasters in the world, Lord. The earthquake and that bridge falling down in Italy, Lord. There's people involved in that. Pray that your name will be glorified and people will seek you, hear from you, Lord. Pray for somebody that you know who needs to hear from the Lord. Thank you for the Cape and Road students coming back, Father. Thank you that we can get that connection and hear from them. Thank you. And Father, as we continue to serve and love and be led by you, Lord, we ask that you'll be with us, that you will be working through your Spirit in our hearts, that we will be that light in Wagga. We offer our church to you, Lord, as a place of sanctuary for the world, where we can come and see you and seek you, but people will know that this is a place of Jesus. We offer ourselves to you, Lord, today and this week. Amen. Grab a seat. Sorry? Oh, no, the offering is going to be now. Okay, because we're going to stand and pray, I thought we'd have stand and pray, and now we'd have the offering. So now's an opportunity for us to give to the Lord's work. So if you've come prepared for that, please do so. Going to sing again. Would you stand with me and sing? Grace, what have you done?
Accusing us.
Anita, you're going to read the scriptures for us. Why don't you come, and after you've read, I'm going to give us a message.
Acts 20, verses 22 to 35. And this is Paul speaking. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Let me pray with you as we open up the Bible together. Father, we come like little sheep, needing your feed, needing your care, needing your protection. So, Lord, would you please gather us up in your arms, even through this word, and as we, by faith, look to you, Father, we want to be your sheep, and we look to you as our great shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the midst of a sermon series about the church, the most powerful force on earth. Today we're going to be talking about the church as God's mob of sheep. Do you know of all the images of the church, whether it be the bride of Christ or the temple or the army of God, perhaps one of the most ancient and oldest ones of all is the idea that God's people are his sheep. So, early on, it says that God takes his people as his own sheep. It's been part of my personal testimony that before I was a pastor, I was a sheep and wheat farmer and still live on a sheep and wheat property. Many of you have visited me there. It was powerfully impressed on my heart and mind when the Lord was calling me to be a pastor here, that he was calling me from taking care of sheep with wool to taking care of sheep without wool. And it says in Psalm 78, and one of you actually in this building spoke this word about 15 years ago, and it's from Psalm 78, and it spoke to me. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds and from tending the sheep, and he brought him to be a shepherd of his people. And so I feel actually the weight and the gravity of that, because there's numbers of you that have had something to do with raising sheep, and you'll know that in actual fact, it's not as easy as you think. You can easily, if you just drop the ball with the sheep in terms of their nutrition or their water or their management or their disease, you can, I've seen it where someone has lost like a huge proportion of their lambs just because they had no idea what they were doing. And they died, they perished because they just did not understand. And so this is the sheep of God are a huge responsibility and an ancient image that God uses to describe his people. So I want to speak about three things. Number one, knowing ourselves as sheep. Number two, knowing God as shepherd. And number three, knowing where the gate is. And so the first one is knowing ourselves as sheep. Listen to what it says in Psalm 78, and it's talking about when a nation was born, just the nation of Israel was born, and when God led the nation of Israel out of slavery and into freedom. This is what it says. But he brought his people out like a flock, and he led them like sheep through the wilderness. So right from ancient times, God is imagining his people as a flock, as sheep, and him as the great shepherd. What we know from that is, number one, God's people are owned. We are owned by him. Just like a shepherd owns his sheep and takes great pleasure in them and loves them, God owns his sheep. And if you are one of his sheep, you are owned by him and deeply loved by him. He cares for you. It says in Psalm 78, that 79, it says, "Then we, your people, are the sheep of your pasture, and we will praise you forever." So to be owned by God is to have God as our shepherd, and to have God as the one that we delight to be owned by. We're the people of your pasture. We are yours, O God. And there's great joy in that. Not only are we owned, but we are lost and helpless. God's sheep. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 50, for example. "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and have caused them to roam on the mountains." And so sheep are many times lost and they are very, very helpless. I took some photos from my own place. So here's a photo of some sheep. But I this is what I want you to notice about these sheep. I want you to notice just how helpless they are. They are totally helpless. They cannot provide food for themselves. They cannot provide water for themselves. They cannot find another paddock or anything for them. They are helpless and they need care. And when God says, "I am considering my people as sheep," he considers us, and I know this will hurt your feelings, but he considers us helpless and many times lost. There's always a danger, you know, when I put up photos from my farm that someone will come up to me and say, "Oh, your sheep looked very dry," or whatever. Can I say, that's not the point. The point is that not my farm and not these sheep in particular. The point is that we are God's sheep and we are lost and we're helpless and we need God's care. Unless we are provided for by God, then we're struggling. We need a provision from God. But when he provides for us, we are the ones that are made strong. We are the ones that our needs are met in him. We're lost and helpless, but he is the shepherd. Not only are we lost and helpless, but we're vulnerable. It says in Jeremiah 17, "Israel is a scattered flock that lions have chased away. First to devour them was the king of Syria. The last to crush their bones was Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon." And so God is envisaging his people as sheep, but that other nations like lions or wolves will come and crush them and gobble them up and just totally destroy them. Do you know sheep are very, very vulnerable? They have not got sharp teeth and they've not got great claws. They are extremely vulnerable. They are defenseless. And when God says that we are sheep, he's saying that we're vulnerable. If you know, if you've ever had anything to do with sheep and that they get sick, they get struck by flies, or they get some disease or whatever, they are totally helpless to do anything themselves for themselves. They need a shepherd to come and meet them in their need. And so it is with us. We are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to forces of darkness that are extremely dangerous and that can kill us. But he's saying, You are sheep, and that we are people that are vulnerable. So that's the first thing. knowing us ourselves as sheep. But the second thing is knowing God as the shepherd. Do you know several times in the Bible God is actually very angry at shepherds that don't care for the sheep? So I'm going to read you, and I'm a shepherd here in this church, and but God is very, very angry at shepherds at times. So listen to what he says in Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourself with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed those who are ill or bound up the injured, and you have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And in Zechariah chapter 10, it says, my anger burns against the shepherds and I will punish the leaders. God has got this heart for sheep. And when he puts shepherds in charge that are making a mess and do not care for the sheep, he is angry, and that is an expression of how much he loves the sheep. This is what he says, actually, in Ezekiel 34. Listen to God's response to the hopeless shepherds. He says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I myself. I'm going to give up on all those hopeless, wretched shepherds, and I myself am going to do it. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places that they are scattered on the day of the clouds of darkness, and I will bring them from the nations. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Lord. Because the Lord is the ultimate shepherd. He loves his sheep. What can we know about God as shepherd? He searches and cares. He sees sheep scattered all over the place. And in his heart, you might not care, I might not care, but God of heaven cares about sheep that are scattered. Do you remember what Jesus says about leaving the 99 just to get the one? That is his heart. He just loves to find those that are scattered and to bring them back, to bring them back. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search, I will search, I will search for my sheep. In Isaiah 40, it says this, he tends his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And so this is the picture. God, as a shepherd, finding the little lamb, tiny little lamb, and bringing the lamb up to his heart, because it says that he carries them close to his heart. Now listen, this is the shepherd that we have in God. When we are broken, when we are weak, when we are lost, when we are helpless, he's the one that gathers us and gathers us into his arms. He cares for us. He gently leads those that have young. Are you broken? Are you just stumbling along? Are you fragile? You're just wondering how you're going to make it through? Then the shepherd that we have is a shepherd that cares for the weakest and the most vulnerable. Not only that, but he leads with strength and love. Ezekiel 34 says, I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. He's the leader. He leads. He's like a shepherd with great strength. For example, he's the sovereign Lord. He's the sovereign Lord that comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm, But in Isaiah 40, it says that he tends his flock like a shepherd. So he leads. Yes, he's incredibly tender and he lifts people up to his heart and carries them with great love. But he leads with tremendous strength and with great love. Not only does he lead with strength and love, but he searches and protects. As his shepherd looks after his scattered flocks, and then when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered. So he's a rescuing God. Imagine that there's people that are in great need, that are just about to fall prey to terrible, terrible danger. And God says, I am the shepherd that rescues. Are you here this morning and you're in great danger? That something could befall you and that you'll be damaged or lost or be killed, then this is the shepherd that rescues, that comes to you to take you to be his. He protects because of the lions, because of our vulnerability. He protects because of the wolves that come, and it said in Acts chapter 20 that Annette read for us, that fierce wolves will arrive and they will not spare the flock. They'll rip the sheep together to bits. And Paul is saying to the elders in Acts chapter 20, take care of the flock. They're bought with the blood of Christ. Take care of them. They'll be ripped to shreds by the wolves. Make sure you shoot the wolves, because they'll rip the sheep to bits. He's a God that rescues out of the lion's mouth, and he protects his sheep. And lastly, he feeds. Do you remember Jesus coming across a group of people, and he sees them all, and this is what he says in Mark chapter 6. He says that he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. They were a sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. They're a sheep without a shepherd. So what does he do? He begins teaching them. And the way the sheep are fed is by teaching. It's by teaching. There's a soul nutrition that comes to our hearts when we have the teaching of Jesus coming to our lives. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. After all what we see for centuries and centuries in the Bible, God being angry with the shepherds, and God says, I'm going to forget all these hopeless, wretched shepherds, and I will tend for my sheep. And then when Jesus comes as the Son of God, he makes a claim about himself, and he says, I am the good shepherd. Not only am I the good shepherd, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Do you know Jesus has come as the ultimate shepherd, as the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for his sheep? I have never, ever laid down my life for any one of my sheep, ever. I've preserved my life. But Jesus knows that his sheep are in such terrible danger, like horrible danger, that he actually comes and says, I will lay down my life. I will give. What he's doing when he's at the cross is he's laying down his life. Why? Because he's rescuing the sheep. Because the sheep are in such terrible danger. They will be destroyed. They will be lost. They will be scattered. They will perish But he must lay down his life for his sheep. And so what God is doing in Christ when he sends his son on the cross is that he is laying his life down, gathering sheep in, seeking the lost. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus Christ has laid down his life for you because of incredible love to snatch you out of danger and bring you into his fold to rescue and protect and love you. Lastly, number three, knowing where the gate is. Jesus says, even before Jesus says that I'm the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, he says something else. He says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate. I'm the gate for the sheep. Do you know if the image here is that in those days there were these pens made out of stone, and they, I think, were about that high, and they had a cover over them, and at night the shepherd would lead his sheep into these secure pens. And they would be secure there from the lions and the wolves. In the morning, he would lead them out to pasture. The shepherd would call them by name, and the sheep, I don't know whether you've ever seen this, but when I was younger, my mum used to have these little lambs. She'd feed them on the bottle, and they would get to know her voice. If I turned up, they would run for their lives from me. They would not hear. They did not know that my voice. But when my mum called them, they would run to her because they knew her voice. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. They'll go wherever wherever I go. When we become the sheep of God, when we come into the gate, we begin to know the Lord's voice. I'm not saying an audible voice, but we know where he's leading us. We're not hearing the voice of those that are drawing us away to wickedness, drawing us to confusion and darkness. We're hearing the voice of the shepherd, the great shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the gate. What does that mean? Well, in those days when they came into this secure fold, there was a gate. And it said that sometimes the shepherd would lie himself down, actually in the gate, so that overnight no wolves could come in and destroy the sheep, and no sheep could get out to go out and be lost. And the shepherd would actually be lying in the gate. And Jesus is saying, I am the gate. If you want to be secure, you've got to come in through me. And I am the one that will protect you. I'm the gate. If you want life, if you want strength, if you want pasture and provision, then I'm the gate. Come in. Come in. And through Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, he is the gate. He's the way to come in. And the offer is very, very wide. If you would come in, if you want security, if you want protection, if you want his shepherding care, and he will not let anything touch you once you're one his sheep. I'm not saying we won't suffer in this world. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that your life, your eternal life, will be totally secure. He is the shepherd and he is the gate. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And I just want to finish with this. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. on Jesus' heart is other sheep. He's talking to the people of Israel. They are one kind of sheepfold. They are his people. But his in his mind, that's not enough. I am the shepherd, not just of the people of Israel, but I've got other sheep of other nations that live in other times. And he's got us in mind. He's bringing people from all nations so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He, by him only do we come into a knowledge of the Father. And he's bringing one shepherd. He's one shepherd, he's making one flock. And so I'll tell you what's been burdening my heart as I have been looking at this, and it's this. And it's a heavy thing for me, actually. It's a heavy thing for me because we're here. Many of us are already believers and we're here. But there's many that are not in the pen. They're not in the paddock and they're in terrible danger, like terrible danger. And I know that you've got family members and friends that you are longing to know this shepherd. And I look around Wagga, not only around Wagga but beyond, but when I look at Wagga and I see young kids that they don't even think that their life's worth living and they are living lives that are just so, so dangerous. They're in darkness and it's really, really dangerous. And what is on Jesus' heart is that there's sheep that have got to come in. They've got to come in. They've got to be brought in. They're lost. And God is saying, oh, that they... I am providing my son that others could come in. And so what's on my mind is that I need to do better and we need to do better. But on people knowing the gate, it's just so crucial that people know the gate to safety, the gate to salvation. It's not okay that they're outside. It's not okay that they are perishing and in such terrible danger because God has sent a shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and anyone that would come in, they cannot be snatched out of his hands. They're secure. So I'm encouraging you to pray with me how we can do better to help people find this gate, need to find the gate. Need to find the Lord Jesus so that they would be secure and know his love and eternal safety. It's really, really important. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Lord, I'm as a pastor that's a shepherd, Lord, I'm acknowledging my failure, Lord, to seek the lost and to strengthen the weak, those that are outside. And Lord, just asking for your help because you're the great shepherd and we're just sheep, loved by you and treasured by you. But would you somehow help us know how to find people, how to help people find their way out of darkness and come in through the gate to safety and life. Yeah, please, Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
So there is, I guess, a sense that we have gathered under our Great Shepherd this Sunday morning, and that we are going to scatter across our city and across our region and even beyond in this coming week. But actually, in the spiritual, we have a shepherd over us, and we're secure in him. Our eyes need to be on him this week. May you know that he is your shepherd, caring for you, loving you, never ever drop you. And I'm just encouraging you to have your eyes on him as he loves us all. Father, as we go out of this building, we are going with a shepherd that's got incredible intentionality in his love and care for us. Lord, help us to have our eyes on you, Father, and on your Son, Jesus, our great, great shepherd. We thank you that in you we are one. We are one flock. We're thankful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.